always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
All right, so let's go ahead and dive on into your guys' questions. We start, as always, I'm going to take a look in the comment section to see if we have any super comments that I would start with. We do. So I will keep, Well, this one's kind of tough because I just spent the whole last. I'll answer this one really quickly and then we'll move on. Fuck Washington! All right, Addison Hoover asking, what's the latest on LeBron James? The latest in terms of what I'm actually hearing is that, you know, he and his people are still kind of scouring the league to see what kind of situation they can find that checks the most boxes for them. Their priorities, or his priorities, as he has said, is he wants to play for a championship and he wants to play in a city that his family would be comfortable in. And then from there, I think, you know, the number that he plays at, the salary that he plays at next year, obviously is going to matter quite a bit. And I think as a result of all of that, he basically only has three teams, I would say, that he can take all that seriously. Maybe four if you consider New York. I don't think that, like, I think New York is on their way to winning a championship. I don't think LeBron would want to play for a reigning champion New York Knicks team, but who knows? I've always thought that the Lakers are the likeliest of the teams that he would play for next year. Then I would say Cleveland is next. And finally, the Warriors are like the other team that we need to keep an eye on. And then I do also think, because of the number that we're talking about from a lot of these teams, I do also think that retirement isn't something that we can completely write off. Oh, another chance. That's in the box. No way. They already picked up a red card. Like, you know what they're capable of. He's on. Yeah, it's a bit of a flop. I mean, he doesn't play the ball at all. Should note that. Anyway, sorry guys. The latest on LeBron James is that, you know, it's between those three teams. I think the Lakers are the likeliest. Cavs are second likeliest, and Warriors are third. With retirement being something that we can't completely write off. I know that everybody thinks that he would, and I would mostly agree, but I think everybody kind of thinks LeBron would never retire without a retirement tour. But if he isn't going to necessarily get a particularly good one next year anyway, you know, and in order to play or play out that retirement tour, he would have to, you know, play at a number significantly below his market value. LeBron's prideful enough that I think we need to take retirement into account as a possibility here as well. So, that's where things kind of stand. And I do think it's a very fluid situation that those, like, when we hear that the James camp and LeBron and Clutch and everybody is they're really weighing all their options, based on everything I'm hearing, that is absolutely true. Like that is not, you know, just kind of you know, like an empty threat. He really is looking around the league to see what situation makes the most sense for him. I am just of the opinion, and I'm biased, but I'm of the opinion that the Lakers make the most sense for him, just as he makes most sense for the Lakers at the number that he's probably going to be playing at next year. All right. Let's see. Man. Recording this during the World Cup was a mistake. I'm just going to go out and say that. All right. So the first question that we have here from the iTunes mailbag, this is from DaReal3D, who writes, "Hey, Anthony, I've seen a lot of discourse about how the Lakers should push to acquire Giannis, but I haven't seen much discourse on what the Lakers, on what the rest of the roster would look like after that. How do you envision the rest of the roster looking if the Lakers acquire Giannis with and without LeBron? Also, would the Lakers be able to keep Rui if they go after Giannis? All right. So, without getting too deep into the weeds here, and at some point, maybe I can bring, a capologist. I love having Yossi on, and I haven't had him on in a long time. So maybe at some point we'll run through some hypotheticals with him so he can kind of talk you through like the actual minutia of the cap and how this would all work. But basically, to keep this as simple as possible while also being true, if the Lakers were to trade for Giannis, they would basically go to Milwaukee and say, hey, how big of a trade exception do you want? How much money are you looking to get off? Right. And so, if the Lakers were to trade, say, like Giannis Antetokounmpo contract. So Giannis is on the books next year for $58 million, right? If the Lakers renounce LeBron and renounce Rui, they would have just about enough cap room to take Giannis into that cap room while sending back, like Dalton or Vando or something like that, right? A smaller contract. Now, would that be enough for Milwaukee? That's a completely separate conversation. But in terms of like, how could the Lakers, like in this scenario, they lose Rui outright, because I think Rui is going to sign for more than the mid-level exception. And once you renounce Rui, you can no longer go above the cap to re-sign him. And that means you are limited to exceptions on him. And I think he's going to make more than the exception next season. So, and by the way, like you only have one mid-level exception that you could use here. And that, is probably, if you would then have to choose between LeBron and Rui, unless LeBron would be willing to make less than the exception, that changes the math on what you could potentially do there. Now, as far as filling out the rest of the roster here, it just depends on who goes out, right? Like if Milwaukee is willing to take Vando's contract back, or some other team is willing to take Vando's contract, that frees you up a little bit financially, but that does impact like your actual roster for next year. He, say what you will about Vando, but I think he's an NBA rotation player, and losing him for the sake of dumping salary would make you a little bit worse. So I would actually like to see if the Lakers could, if you just keep it to like Dalton and some smaller contract there. You take Giannis completely into your cap space, and from there you already have Jake. You have Jake on your roster. You would have Luka on your roster. You would have Giannis on your roster. You would re-sign Austin Reeves, he probably would be back in this hypothetical. Hopefully, here you have Marcus opting out and then maybe signing to a smaller exception. I don't think there's a world where the Lakers can bank on DeAndre Ayton opting out. So I think he's probably back no matter what. You can go above the cap to sign Jackson Hayes, who has a really small cap hold anyway. So you could, he would probably be back in this hypothetical. And now you have, and then Bronny, who has a small non-guaranteed contract that I think the Lakers would be wise to keep around. and you would have whatever you whoever you use the 25th. Nope, in this you'd probably be trading the 25th pick. This would probably have to happen on draft day. So you trade the 25th pick probably, as well as the you know future picks that you have access to, and that basically rounds out your roster. It's not very deep. You would have to hope for a lot of guys signing for the minimum in the in their hopes of signing a bigger contract after competing for a championship on that Lakers team. But I think there's a route there to depth after trading for Giannis. It just involves some help from some other free agents that you tend to get anyway when you're the Lakers and when you employ two superstars like Luka and like Giannis. And then like the final help that you could potentially get there, like, you know, we talked about LeBron in the last segment. LeBron says the things that matter most to him are competing for a championship and playing in a city where his family feels comfortable. His family loves Los Angeles, and there is no better circumstance in terms of championship aspirations than on a team with Luka and Giannis next year. And if the Lakers, you know, build out their roster that way and they say, LeBron, this is what we can offer you with having already done all of that work across our roster elsewhere, are you interested in that? And you see what he says. I think at that point he would have to seriously consider it, but he also might say, you know what? I want to make, you know, the little bit more than I can in Cleveland, in Golden State, in New York or whatever. But yeah, I think that in this world, you like the I guess I don't necessarily agree with all of the concern about the Lakers' depth after you trade for Giannis. It would come with a couple of gambles. It would be some, you know, buy low candidates and all of that. But I still think that you can arrive at a little bit of depth on your roster even after pulling off that kind of a deal. All right. The next question here comes from QBreezy12, who writes, with Rob putting so much pressure on this summer, should we be worried about him being desperate if a deal doesn't fall in his lap, or would he continue to lean towards an action as he has in the past? What's your confidence level he actually builds a contender, something he hasn't done in a half decade since 2021? I look, we have seen Genie step in. You know, with Jim Buss, like the final straw when Jim Buss was fired, reportedly at the time, I wasn't reporting or covering the Lakers really much back then, but, the final straw, depending on who you listen to there, was Genie getting wind that, the Lakers were getting ready to trade for DeMarcus Cousins. And Jim was doing that, and Mitch, those guys were doing that basically. And Mitch, if I remember correctly, was like pushing back on it. Jim really, really wanted to do this, but he wanted to do this so that the Lakers could make the playoffs, and Jim's like promise to the fan base would have been fulfilled. Genie caught wind of it, said, "Nope, not doing that." Fired people and everybody moved on. And now it's weird to say this. I think it's true, but I think Genie would be more hesitant to fire Rob Pelinka than she was even with Jim Buss, her brother. But I think that's probably true. But I think if Genie and Mark Walter, more importantly, were to find out that Rob was going to make some kind of desperation move late in the off season, after not necessarily having the summer that he was hoping for, in the hopes of saving his job, I think the Lakers would probably step in, say, "Rob, you tried. It's time we go our separate ways here." Before the Lakers would make some kind of desperation move that would really put them in a tough spot moving forward. So I'm not too worried about that scenario playing out. Now, as far as like inaction, productive inaction, you know, however you want to phrase it, however Rob Pelinka would try to sell it. That is something that I'm a little more nervous about. You know, I do really believe in this like 3-year window that, you know, people behind the scenes are kind of saying Jeannie negotiated for herself. And if there is like that 2 or 3 year window, then technically speaking, Rob would have another couple of transaction cycles to and transaction windows to improve the roster from there. So maybe, you know, if he was to convince Jeannie, hey, the moves that we were hoping for, they didn't play out the way that we were hoping. What do you think about keeping our powder dry, trying this again? I think Jeannie would go along with that so long as it's Rob selling her on that. And that is the scenario here that I am more nervous about. I don't think the Lakers can afford to run it back next year. Is you know, despite Trevor and my conversation from yesterday, I hope you guys picked up on the tone. I don't love the idea of doing that. We know that team wasn't good enough. Yes, they played well towards the end of the year, but nobody thought to themselves, okay, yeah, this is a team that is on par with OKC, San Antonio, and now apparently the Knicks. Plus Boston's going to be better next year and so on and so forth. So I think that, you know, this notion of, well, wait, what does Rob do as he nears the end of his rope? I'm a lot more nervous about him comfortably saying, yeah, we can just ride this thing out than I am him saying like, oh gosh, I got to do something. I don't necessarily see the latter part. All right. The next question here, I'm going to answer a few from Twitter and then get up out of here. As it looks, wow, I missed that. South Africa lost another player. Stop being dirty. What are you guys doing? let's see. I have, all right. So I'm going to go in order that I got these. At Champs Papa 1015, can they just tear it up? No point being the 3 or 4 seed, realistically the 5th, and then getting bombed by the Thunder and Spurs every year. That's 2000s Wizards, 2010s Hawks territory. Well, it's really difficult to blow it up without trading Luka. So unless you're willing to trade Luka and not have your like control of your picks after you trade Luka, I don't necessarily see that. I think in any kind of blow it up situation here, I think you're probably looking at like basically Rob Pelinka looking at the roster as just Luka and everybody got to go. I think that's an extremely unlikely scenario, but I do think that like I would prefer that scenario to running this team back. I would prefer just wholesale change. Maybe you take a step back, but you actually build a roster around Luka. Like I would prefer that over, well, you know, maybe next year we'll be healthy. You know, I would much rather, you know, blow it up even to the extent that it's not necessarily blowing it up because you're not trading Luka, but blowing it up from the standpoint of like the entire supporting cast that the Lakers had built for the, you know, as a temporary structure anyway, blow that group up, take a couple of transaction cycles, actually grab, you know, players who fit more long-term with Luka and go, go that route. That makes a lot more sense to me. I don't think it would happen. I think Austin is back next year, as are like, you know, the people who are under contract for next season. But I really, really, really don't want to run it back. That's basically the point of this segment. Don't do that. Next question here comes from, let's see, at God 91, excuse me, IN. Ideal Lakers starting five when the offseason is done, when Rob Pelinka makes the moves that need to be done.
Ooh.
Ideal? Ideal? All right. I can have some fun with this. Ideally, you're starting with Austin, Luka, Giannis, LeBron, and Ayton. Ideally. You said ideally. You didn't say realistically. Ideally, that is the starting five next year. And then you close games with Austin, Luka, Austin, Marcus, Luka, LeBron, and Giannis. That would be my closing lineup in this ideal scenario here, right? And in this idealistic world where everything went great, right? You go, you have Jackson coming off of your bench. I think you probably have to trade Nuthiero in this hypothetical. You probably also are trading Dalton Connect in this hypothetical. So those guys are probably both gone. Vando is back in this hypothetical. Jake LaRavia is still on the team in this hypothetical. And then from there, you see what minimum contracts that you can sign to fill out the rest of your roster. That would be my ideal starting five. Not realistic, not saying it's happening, but if I had if this was 2K and I could turn, you know, auto trade on and force teams to accept offers and stuff like that, that's what I would do there is I would acquire Giannis and I would make a sprint at it for, you know, the next season or two. And then, you know, as Giannis ages and stuff like that, and depending on how guys fit around those guys, then you kind of adjust accordingly. But I just think like the there's a real opportunity for the next couple of years here that the Lakers really should be focused on maximizing. And I would go with that as my ideal outcome of the offseason. Wait a second. Mexico got, you gave Mexico a red card in Mexico? Are you insane? I didn't see the play. I've been focused on my ideal offseason, so I'll go back and find that play. But that's a dangerous proposition for the referee there. Like, that is a brave referee. Let's see. Rashawn, since we've been talking about LeBron a lot in this episode, I'll go ahead and answer this one. Rashawn asks, what is your Anthony Irwin's walkaway number for LeBron? Oh, man. See, this puts me in an impossible spot because no matter what number I give right now, it's going to be offensive to LeBron fans. So, like, LeBron fans, cover your ears. How about this? Like, I'm going to say a number right now. Just cover your ears. Pay attention to the free kick that South Africa is about to take up. They took it, so you missed that as an option. But, like, let's just, no offense, LeBron fans. I swear I'm just answering a question that I was asked. My walkaway number for LeBron would be 20 million. And the reason it's 20 million is because that is a sizable enough gap between or raise over the most that like Golden State or Cleveland or New York or any of these other teams that he would realistically want to play for. That is enough more that it's not offensive to LeBron. It's a low enough number that you could still have a big old chunk of cap space with. And I think that's, I you know, that's the, I'm also saying $20 million, granting that that is offensively low for LeBron. Like, he is worth way more than that, not just in terms of basketball, but also because of the revenue that he's about to generate for whatever team he's going to play for while he is on this, you know, retirement tour. So I'm granting that it is offensive. Like, that number is way too low, but I'm also trying to build out the best Lakers roster that I can. And that's the number that I would walk away at. Anything more than that, I would start to get uncomfortable. And I've heard anywhere in the ballpark of like 25 to 27 is kind of like, you know, the Lakers walk away number. But I probably wouldn't go too much higher than 20. I'm sorry, LeBron fans. I'm sorry. Let's go. Let's check the chat here. See how I'm doing. I'm sorry again. I'm sorry. Oh, we got another super comment here. Micah Claiborne writes, would love for us to get in on a three-teamer with the Bucks and Heat and get Hawkes back to LA where he belongs. I like this as I'm wearing my Hawkes UCLA jersey. Still so pissed we passed on him. It's not just that the Lakers passed on him that pissed me off. It's that this dude played for UCLA in your backyard. He won a bunch in your backyard, and you didn't even bring him in for an individual workout, even though you knew he was going to be in the window that you were going to be picking it. Absolutely astounding from the Lakers that they didn't even consider that. A Mexican player's jersey in LA would break records for sales. I'm not even kidding. Especially given the rookie season that Hawk has had, and then the season that he had again last year. I'm 100% with you there, Micah. I think Hawkes is a little too old for Milwaukee if they, you know, if they dive into any kind of a rebuild after trading Giannis. I do think that there is a world where the Lakers could give up a pick and have him be rerouted to the Lakers. He plays a position that I think the Lakers will be looking to add somebody at anyway. I think this makes all the sense in the world, and really, really hope that the Lakers take it a lot more seriously than they did Hawkes as a prospect when he was coming out of college. He's one of the more successful UCLA players in modern history. He was a huge and integral part in a couple deep March Madness runs, and they worked him out. Like, I guess he was part of a group workout, but no like individual workouts for him. Just absolutely insane that they didn't do that, and they have the opportunity here to kind of make up for that. So Micah, I am 100% with you on that one, especially if the Lakers operate using their cap space. You could basically just take Hawkes into your cap space, send whatever draft compensation that you need out, and I think he would start for the Lakers next year. I would really like to see. It's not the most athletic, and I know that it would, you know, still have some question marks about it. But like, you know, a starting lineup with Luka, Austin, Hawkes, and then, you know, you need to get really athletic with your four and five spots at that point, but I'm intrigued. I would love to see it though. That was a great, great idea. All right. We won. All right. So let's see. We will go one more question here. Jen just called because she is out of work. This is a funny one. Trip Before C writes, is Steph Curry's first recruiting attempt on LeBron his GOAT movie? Or would that be a hindrance since he made LeBron a washed player who couldn't win? I haven't seen GOAT. I put it on for the kids today while I was doing a little bit of work. I haven't seen it yet, but I look for. Did he really like make LeBron a like he had like a LeBron stand-in in that movie. Somebody help me out. Like, somebody help me out and tell me whether or not that's true. I will watch that movie right now if that is actually true. Just a quick addition to the last segment. What about one Toscano Anderson? He kind of counted, like, as far as like him being Mexican, but he wasn't good. Hawkins is good. Like, he's a good basketball player. And if you had a good basketball player who happens to be Mexican, born and raised in Southern California, that jersey would do bonkers numbers. Bonkers. Especially like UCLA background. That would be, it would be, oh man, I'm getting pumped thinking about it. I'm going to be let down when we find out Rob still hasn't seen him play. But yeah, that would be awesome. But no, that'd be incredible if Steph was like, no, LeBron, that's not you. Can we edit that? All right, that's going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. A reminder, today's show is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and set a $5 lineup of your own for $50 worth of free lineups. Make sure you guys are hitting that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications. Subscribe to the pod. All of that good stuff. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I'll talk to you more.